Would you once again join me in the book of Numbers? The book of Numbers, chapter 4. The book of Numbers, chapter 4. This is such an enjoyable chapter, and they get better. I've just enjoyed so much looking into this chapter 4. This chapter is divided into several distinct parts. And in chapters 4, verses 1 through 14, which is the bulk of our message this morning, we have the ministry of Aaron and his sons in preparation for moving the tabernacle, what they needed to go through before they could move the tabernacle. And then we find in verses 4, 15, and 17 through 20, the ministry of the Kohathites. The Kohathites, as they get preparation to move the temple or the tabernacle. And then we have the ministry of the elder of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, there in verse 16. And then the ministry of the Girgashites as they prepare to move. That's going to be something we'll look at in the ministry of the Merarites as they get prepared to move. And then the Kohathites and the Girgashites, and these are all the descendants of Levi many years ago, the children of Levi. He had three sons, and their families are mentioned here. And then the Merarites, we have them numbered, and the total number of them. God is so careful in his instructions to his people. And he gives us no room for going to the right hand or the left hand. It's just this way. There is one Savior, and there is one salvation, and there's nothing else ever been given in all the earth to be saved except through the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we'd like to read verses 1 through 15 and then 17 through 20. And make some comments here. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, and every time I read that, I'm just stand amazed that the Lord would one more time speak to humans, speak to creation, to fallen men. Aaron and Moses, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi after their families by the houses of their fathers, from 30 years old upward, even unto 50 years old. All that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. And when a camp setteth forward, when they get ready to move, now they're going to move several times during the years that they're in the wilderness. They've been camped there. They built the tabernacle. They have it all put together. Everything is established. And then we find a wonderful thing happens. The Spirit of God descends on that, descends down on the tabernacle. Nobody can enter into it at all. And then when God said, when you see the cloud move or the fire move, it's time to move. I'm moving you another step. However far it was, we don't have that information. In fact, it doesn't tell us that I know of how many times they moved in the 40 years that they were in the wilderness. But they did move around quite a bit. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take the covering veil and the cover of the ark of testimony with it, and shall put thereon the coverings of badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. So when they come into the ark of the testimony, they cover this ark with badger skins. Now we're going to mention that in just a moment. It's interesting that almost all the scholars, and this translation mentions animals that the Jews were not legal to touch. So I'm not sure that it was badger skins. There's a lot of discussion about what it was. I'm more inclined, as I read about this, that it was probably goat's leather that it was used. But nonetheless, and they were to place over the top of that, it says there, they were placed over that cloth wholly of blue, and then put the staves thereof. So they were carrying staves. This thing was not to be put on a cart. It was to be carried on the shoulders of the Kohathites, of the Levites. And upon the table of showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue and put thereon the dishes and the spoons and the bowls and the covers to cover withal, and the continual bread shall be thereon. And they shall spread upon a cloth of scarlet and cover the same with a covering of badger skin. So when they come to the table of showbread, they put it, this cloth on there, blue, and then they put all of the utensils in it and the bread on it. And then it says they covered it with a covering of badger skins, a cloth of scarlet and then badger skins, and put the staves in, and now it's ready. And shall take they shall take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick of the light and his lamps and his tongs and his snuff dishes and all the oil vessels thereof, wherewith they shall minister it, and they shall put it in all the vessels thereof within coverings of badger skins, and shall put it upon a bar. So we got more coverings going over this. We have this color, this cloth, and badger skins are being used. And in verse 11, upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue and cover with a covering of badger skins and put the staves therein. Two more coverings go over this. And they shall take the instruments of ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary and put them in a cloth of blue and cover them with a covering of badger skins and shall put them on a bar. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth thereon. Then, and they shall put upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith they minister about it, even the censers, the flesh hooks, the shovels, and the basins, all the vessels of the altar, and they shall spread upon it a covering of badger skins, and put to the staves thereof, of it. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary, and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is set forward, after that, now pay particular attention to that. After that, then the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it. But they shall not touch anything holy. That's why we have these staves going through, these wooden staves going through, covered with gold, going through to support these objects as they carry them. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now I asked myself as I was reading this, and then the Bible immediately answers it if I just read on a little bit, which we're going to do. Why must all of this covering take place before the Kohathites come in? Why did Aaron and his sons have to go through all this process before Kohath, the sons of Kohath, could come in and put these things on their shoulders and begin the march? Well, let's drop down, if you would. We're going to skip verse 16, and we're going to go to verse 17, because 16 deals with Eleazar. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, cut ye not off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but this do unto them, that they may live. Now, that word cut off means it was a use among the Hebrews that if there was a covenant going to be made, and Abraham demonstrates this covenant when he took a animal and cut it into pieces and then walked down through the middle of it, that's what this word comes from. There's a covenant that God is making with the Kohathites that they have this service to do, but they cannot come into the tabernacle and put the coverings on because it says that they may live and die not when they approach unto the most holy things. Aaron and his son shall go in and appoint that every one of his service to be his burden. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. So prior to these coverings, we find these guys that are going to carry this stuff. If they went in, they were dead. Instantly. So we find that God took care of this problem for the Kohathites by providing covering. And the covering was provided by Aaron and his sons. The priests had to take care of this. Now, as I look at this, I find that there are four coverings that were mentioned in here, and I'd like to talk just a little bit about these this morning. These coverings and where they came from and what they were doing and the colors that were used. Now, it's a mystery to me about all of the colors that are used in the Bible. that rainbow over in the book of Revelation. How beautiful an account is given to us of the grace of God in that. And how beautiful it is, God's grace is given to us here in the coverings that were used to cover up the mercy seat, the table of showbread, that candlestick, and then the altar that was outside. How merciful it was for God to do this so that those Kohathites, the laborers, were not going to be killed. Well, we find, first of all, that there's badger skins are mentioned here. There's a cloth of blue mentioned here. There's a cloth of scarlet mentioned here. And then there's a purple cloth mentioned in this short reading that we've had this morning. Four different kinds of coverings that God said must be used in order for these people to carry these objects from one place to another. It was for the safety of the Kohathites, and not just for the Kohathites, it was for the safety of all Israel that these things be covered when they were in transit. God was overseeing the movement of his people and protecting them from certain death. And we will find that this is a wonderful picture of our Savior taking care of a covering for us, or it would be certain death to us. Well, let's look at these badger skins. It tells us in Exodus chapter 25. Would you back up to the book of Exodus for just a moment? Exodus chapter 25, and we're going to read four verses out of four different chapters over here in the book of Exodus that have to do with these badger skins. Now, the scholars of the Bible disagree on what this actually is. And as I mentioned, most of them share that the animals that are often brought up were animals that the Jews could not deal with, could not touch. They were not to eat of those things. They were not to participate with those things. And yet, we find that something was used, and a large quantity of something was used. This badger skin, as it's described, covered the ark, or the whole tabernacle. It reached from one side on the ground, over the top, and down to the other side on the ground. So there was a lot of some kind of skins put together to make this covering that was used. And then we have the other coverings that were placed over the tabernacle itself. In the book of Exodus, chapter 25, and there in verse 5, we have these words. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 5. And ram's skins dyed red, badger skins, and shittim wood. We have the use of these items when it came to the making of this tabernacle. And there was a large quantity of it. Now, the cloth was probably linen. And it's dyed different colors. And we have some type of skin that was used, leather, processed in some way, some manner. Now, we hardly, in our day and time, can appreciate the work that went into the making of leather and the making of colors in Bible times or in the Middle Ages. We go down to the paint store and we buy paint in a million different colors, and most of the colorant that is used is chemicals. In these days, it was natural materials. They didn't have the chemicals that we have today. The skins were processed and made leather in a natural process. Now, you can go down to the library and find the formula for making leather, and you probably don't want to handle the materials. They're all natural. But they made good, supple leather. And then, to color, the different colors. I took some painting classes when I was a senior in high school, and my painting teacher, Mrs. Cogburn, was explaining to me the materials that were used to make up some of these paints, and I said, you've got to be kidding. They were natural things, things that most of us would just throw away. Painters found out could be turned into natural colors and be used by painters, artists, that sort of thing. So we have the process that went on. We don't appreciate what they had to go through. Well, that really shares with us some of the important things about the coverings that were made there. Where did these colors come from, and where did this leather come from? Well, read with me in Exodus chapter 26 and verse 14. Exodus chapter 26 and 14, and thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram's skin dyed red, and covering above of badger skins. We have multiple coverings demonstrating and sharing with us many of the rich qualities of the grace of God in Christ Jesus, that He truly is the Son of God that came and laid down His life, a ransom for His people. All demonstrated here. You know, the Old Testament and the New Testament are in absolute agreement. There is no contradictions. When people persist and say that you have to be circumcised, as the Pharisees were following Paul said, that they have to be circumcised in order to be saved, those are unregenerate people that saw miracles took place and didn't believe in the one that performed them. There is none of that mentioned in the Old Testament, that salvation came by any of those things, but we find Jonas summed it all up, which is throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament, salvation is of the Lord. That is the statement being made. All right, in Exodus chapter 35 and verse 7. In Exodus chapter 35 and verse 7, we read this. Ram skin dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood. This is the materials that are going to be used. And then once again in chapter 35 and verse 23. Chapter 35 and verse 23, and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. So we have all of this material that these people have. They carried it out of Egypt and they're contributing it to the making of the tabernacle. Now I used to wonder, and I still wonder, where did all the wood come from that was used in the boards? Well, I read a scholar said they cut it down in the peninsula there, Sinaitic Peninsula. It was there, and they cut it up into wood. Well, that makes as good a sense as anything, because they didn't bring it out of Egypt. Well, there's lots of wood used there. Well, let's look at this badger skins. As we mentioned, the fact is, and everybody can agree on this, we may not agree on what it was, what animal it was, but we can agree on this, that in order to get that skin, an animal gave its life. That we can agree on. It doesn't matter which animal, if whatever animal gives skin, the life is taken from that animal. Let us turn over here to Exodus 29. Verses 10 and verse 14. We can agree that in order to have all of this badger skin, all of this goat skin leather, or whatever it was, multiple critters were, lives were taken and skins were taken in order to create this leather. This is an agreement we can make. Death ruled when these animals gave their skin. In Exodus chapter 29, verses 10 and 14, Exodus 29, verses 10 and 14, the scripture says, "And thou shalt cause the bullock to be brought." Now, this is for the consecrating of the priests. "Thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock." Now, verse 14, and it goes through, "Thou shalt kill it," in verse 11. "But the flesh of the bullock and his skin." Now, they did this there on many sacrifices. They separated the critter from its hide. My dad and my twin brother and I did that often when we grew up on a farm. We separated the hide from the muscle, which turned out to be the beefsteak. And that critter was dead when we did it. Death is demonstrated so often in the coverings of these different articles that God prescribed to be made in an honor to worship Him. A mercy seat that represents our Savior. We have a lampstand that represents our Savior. We have a table of showbread that represents our Savior. We have an altar that represents our Savior. And in order for anybody to get to that, there must be a death. We find that the Lord Jesus, God Almighty, did this very thing for our first parents in the Garden of Eden. They prescribed that their own covering would take care of it. They covered themselves with fig leaves. They covered themselves with man-sown material. They may have plucked it off of a tree. They may have found them under a tree, but they sewed them together and made themselves a covering, and that covering was very unacceptable with God. He would not accept that covering. And it is the same as us bringing before Almighty God our own righteousness and attempting to trade that for eternal life. It will not be accepted. There is only one covering that is accepted by God, and it is demonstrated back in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, many events took place. Eve took and ate the fruit. And I have to say this one more time. Nothing happened. She ate the fruit. But she didn't know the problem. It wasn't revealed to her. And there was no darkness. There was no knowledge of sin. There was nothing. But when she gave it to her husband, and he did eat, we find things took place very rapidly. In fact, he died spiritually, and she did at the same moment. He represented his family. He represented us. He represented everyone that will ever be born. He represented us when he took that fruit that God said you shall not eat of, and he ate it, and his eyes were opened, and he saw he was naked before God, and he and his wife clothed themselves with fig leaves, as is described here. Now, when God took things in his own hand, he is sharing with Adam and Eve that he had a purpose and a plan far ahead of time. That he was not just knee-jerking. He was not just coming to a conclusion that I have to fix this after the fact. The fact is, God was prepared in the council halls of eternity in the covenant of grace for what was going to take place in the garden. And in Genesis chapter 3, we find there in verse 21 that the Lord said, behold, the man has become one of us. Verse 21, excuse me. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skin and clothed them. Now the same thing had to take place here for this covering, as we find over here in the covering that those articles, the tabernacle in its greatness and all of the articles in their greatness, were going to be covered when they moved this tabernacle, and the articles in the holy place and the holy of holy place were going to be moved. They must be covered for protection's sake. Now it's interesting that Aaron and his sons could go in, and God overlooked all of that. We find our great high priest could do all that he needed to do. He did not have any imperfections in him. He had no sin in him. Sin was put on him in such a miraculous way that he became sin for us, but he did not become a sinner. He is the holy, just one of God. And when he went into the holy place, he didn't need a covering. He brought our covering. He became our covering. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This great demonstration of God's covering as he took the skins of animals and clothed Adam and Eve, now they were okay in the eyes of God, and from a physical standpoint only, they too must have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. This term that of badger skins is used 7 times in the book of Numbers chapter 4. Would you turn there with me again? In the book of Numbers chapter 4, we have 7 times that this particular article would be used over here. And every time it's used, these animal skins got there by one means, and that was some animal died. Death is represented as they wrapped up these various articles, as they put the covering over the tabernacle. Here in the book of Numbers chapter 4 and verse 6, we have these words. We just read through there, but I want to emphasize this statement that is made. in Numbers chapter 4, there in verse 6, the scripture says, and shall put upon the coverings of the badger skins and spread it over a cloth wholly of blue and shall put the staves therein. We've got this leather covering with this blue. And then it tells us in verse 8, and they shall spread upon the cloth of scarlet, and the cover shall be the covering of badger skins, and shall put in the staves thereof. We've got this covering one more time. And in verse 10 of that same chapter, and they shall put it in all the vessels thereof within the covering of badger skins, and shall put in the bars. And then in verse 11, upon the golden altar, they shall spread a cloth of blue and cover with a covering of badger skins, and shall put to the staves thereof. And then in verse 12, and they shall take all the instruments of the ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of badger skins, and shall put them on a bar. And verse 14, and they shall put upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith the minister shall above it, and the censers, and the flesh hooks, and the shovels, and basins, and all the vessels of the altar, and they shall spread upon it the covering of badger skins, and put to the staves thereof. You know, as I read down through here, I have to come to the conclusion there was a lot of animals gave their lives for all this kind of covering. Just to cover the tabernacle. There is no animal that one skin would cover it. Multiple animals demonstrated that death must take place. As they're working with that leather, something died in order for us to make this leather. And someone is sewing it all together. Something died in order for us to have this. And it's a constant reminder that without the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no remission of sins. There would be no payment. There would be no atonement. There would be no propitiation. There would be nothing. It took the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how great the problem is in fallen man. It is so serious, it takes the Son of God's death upon the cross. Oh, by the way of death, the skin was taken, cured, and made a covering. We find constantly in this chapter all these wrappings. And I can't help but think they were separate from what the covering over the top was. That they had all of this in preparation for the covering of these items. Now, they were not monstrous items, but it would take more than one skin. It would take more than a dozen in some of those to cover them up. So we have this constant reminder, the death of the Savior. The death, Christ and Him crucified. The next thing that we find here that's used for a covering is a cloth of blue. In Numbers chapter 4 and verse 6 it says, and shall put thereon the covering of the badger skins and spread it over it a cloth of holy blue. You know, it's very interesting that in these days and times, they didn't have the chemicals that we have. They went to natural sources to find this. And it's interesting to find out that this color of blue came from a mussel. Did they gather it out of the Red Sea? Probably. They had to take mussels, pull off their shells, pulverize that mussel, and this color came out of the shells. What happened to the mussel? The Jews couldn't eat them. It was forbidden. And I am a Jew when it comes to mussels. Some people like them. But just think of how many of these crustaceans had to be taken and their shells crushed and all of this material. And then the linen was dyed this rich blue, which speaks of Him who came from the heavenlies, Him who was above, Him who is high, lifted up, Him who sits on a throne high and lifted up, the Lord Jesus Christ. This word blue is used in this passage comes from a meaning of violet. The color violet is obtained from a crustacean mussel. The color is brilliant. It's not just a drab blue. I'm reminded, we had an assembly one time at the high school, and the guy said he wanted to demonstrate that men and women were different. You know, you want to be careful because you can lose your job in saying that today. But he said, women know 1,000 colors. And guys know 8. You go to a dance, the girls are all in different gowns. The guys are in one color, tuxedo. Doesn't matter. And a guy afterwards said, I take exception. I know 24 colors. He says, you do? Let me hear them. He says, I will share them with you. Light blue, dark blue and dark blue. Light brown, brown and dark brown. And went through the major colors. He had 24. He didn't have mauve. He didn't have all the other things that ladies know about. Well, this brilliant blue color. And how many of these shells had to be taken to make a covering for the tabernacle and also for the coverings for all of these pieces that were found in the holy place and the holy of holies. All of this linen cloth taken from its natural whiteness to make it this color so it could be used as a covering and also reflect the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came from above and was not from among us. He did not have natural origin like we do. His mother did not have the relationship with Joseph until after Jesus Christ was born. His father was from heaven. This was a miracle that God provided for us that we would have a Savior that was not touched by Adam's sin. How great and gracious is this? And so this blue. And then we find the next color is scarlet. There in Numbers chapter 4 and verse 8. Numbers chapter 4 and verse 8. And they shall spread upon the cloth of scarlet. And the cover shall be the covering of badger skins. And shall put the staves therein. Now there no doubt is meaning about which color is put on which object. That's beyond me right at the moment. But I just want us to notice that there are multiple colors that were used in here. And these colors did not come from chemicals. These colors came from natural origin. And this color that we find here, this scarlet, is also found in a verse of scripture in the book of Psalms 22. Would you turn with me to the Psalm 22? In Psalm 22, we have the Lord speaking about himself. In Psalm 22, we find a passage of scripture that shares with us word for word what he was going to say from the cross in his crucifixion. And here in Psalm 22, and there in verse 6, it uses this word. He says, I am a worm. Now that's the same word we find over here in the book of Numbers for scarlet. I am a worm and no man. A reproach of men and despise of the people. Now, how do we get from scarlet color to a worm? Well, let's look at a couple other verses of scripture. One over in the book of Isaiah chapter 1. In the book of Isaiah chapter 1, we have a description of our sin. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. This talks about the outward, the display of our sin. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, that's the same word we find in the book of Numbers. That's the same word we find in the book of Psalms, where it uses the word worms. And did you know it's the same word that's found over in the book of Exodus? If you went out and you gathered too much manna, what happened to it? It stank. And was full of worms. Now, what is that telling us? Well, as I've mentioned a couple of times already, these people did not have the option of using chemicals to make their colors. This particular color comes from a crimson worm. And this is the blood that is taken from that worm that was used for dye. I am a worm and no man. And the only way that blood, that scarlet color could come out to be made for dye, is that worm had to die. That's a play on words. To get the dye, it had to die. This worm, a Toloth worm, must die, must be crushed. That blood was taken out of it. They had a quality about this blood that did not coagulate when it hit air. Can you imagine the number of larvae of worms that were required to make cloth colored this color? And the only way that it could happen was that worm had to die. There were multiple deaths represented here in the coverings that were made for the tabernacle's furniture, all representing one death, the death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I am a worm and no man. What must happen to this worm in order to purchase our redemption? He must die, and his blood must be used to make an atonement for us. This blood of this particular one, this one that called himself a worm and no man. Well, finally in here we have in Numbers chapter 4 and verse 13. Numbers chapter 4 and verse 13, we have the final color. Numbers chapter 4 and verse 13, it's only used one time in this chapter, and it has to do with the wrapping of something very special. It tells us here, they shall take away the ashes from the altar. Those were constant reminders. Something serious took place here. The ashes around the altar. They took those away. They're not going to carry them along with them. They're going to take them away and spread a purple cloth thereon. One more time, we have this particular color made from a crustacean. From the death of a mussel, this color was made, and it was used to cover this article, this altar. You know, as we look through here, we find that the coverings, they required certain death. They demonstrated that death was the only way for protection of those Kohathites. As they, at the conclusion of wrapping all of this furniture up, at the conclusion, we find now they could come in. They could come into the holy place, into the holy of holies. But there was nothing visible for them to observe. The only thing they could see was there were handles. That's all. There were handles. They didn't get to see the mercy seat. They didn't get to see the table of showbread. They didn't get to see the candlestick. They didn't get to see these instruments that were used in there. They were all covered, wrapped up, prepared ahead of time, and now they could come in and they could grab the handles. Well, what does that share with us? Salvation is in the hands of the Lord. All of it, every bit of it. None of it is ours. The only thing that God puts on us is serving Him. Serving the Lord. Serving Him. This is what we have. Is He is to be served. Dom, you need to turn off your mic. Would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. As we look at the wonderful work of the Lord, it tells us here the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. He was able to do something that no one else has ever been able to do. He's able to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The only thing that God's people have is to serve Him. Grab the handle. Lay hold. You know what? He gives us the strength to do that. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, the scripture shares this, "For then must he often have suffered." If we're going to have a high priest like in the Old Testament, then we have someone that's required to suffer many times. But he's not a high priest after the order of Aaron, but he's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So, "For then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." To me, that's just overpowering. To put away my sin by the sacrifice of himself. He's the one that is all the covering. He's the only way to approach the mercy seat. He's the only one to approach the altar. He's the only one to approach the light. He is the only one. He's the only approach. And then we heard read this morning there in Psalm 32 verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. We don't know the blessing like we should. We don't know the blessing like we will. But we know the blessing as it is to have our sin covered. And finally, if you turn with me over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 85. Psalm 85. And there in verse 2, Psalm 85 and verse 2. I can joyfully say we are colored. We can say, color me covered. Color me covered. In Psalm 85 and verse 2, the scriptures share this. Psalm 85 and verse 2, the scripture says, "For thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, thou hast covered all their sin."
Amen.
Thy people. In thy day, you'll turn us, and we will be turned. In your day, we will be saved, and we will be saved. And in your day, we'll appreciate all the ministry that Christ performed on our behalf. For he is the Savior of his people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall cover all that is required. He shall put himself, he will put his life on the line. And he did. And now, at the resurrection, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And like no other priest ever was able to do, he gets to sit down because the work is finished.